Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 101 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. And hi, Adam.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, you're here too.
Yay. Surprise.
What a great day. Holy moly.
Episode 101.
101.
We
did it. Give our listeners the 101 today. This is a crash course on how to run an awesome podcast and give people great advice. Let's do this.
Let's
together.
Do it. Right on.
We're a team. I'm here. You're here. Our listeners are here. We've got everything we need for a great show.
And welcome our special guest. Oh, wait, no guest today. Just us.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, just you in your office in North Carolina.
And you in your office in Jackson, Michigan.
And our trusty ATR 2100 microphones.
Yes. Okay. Enough about the technology. What is going on out there? What's going on with you? What's new with you in your world this week?
This week has been busy. I'm going to be in a wedding tomorrow. We got the rehearsal tonight. It's going to be like 100 degrees or something stupid, and it's going to be roasting. But we're going to have a lot of fun. My little girl is going to be a flower girl. It'll be adorable. This is her second time. And I've been having fun. Now, here's the thing. Like, you know, I spent the 6 weeks in Europe recently. And all the whole time I was there, you know, I went that time not having to think about anything related to transportation except where I wanted to go. Just pay for the pass and go anywhere, anytime.
Like train or bus stress. Or something. No car, right?
Yeah, right. There's routes all over the place. Just a short jaunt down, hop on the next thing. No surprise costs, no gas, no funny motor sounds or fighting traffic or rush hour or anything.
Right.
It was pretty low stress. And then I get back here and like my car's got issues. Like we had to take it to the shop and get like a $3,000 estimate for some things because it was making some funny noise, and all these things are wrong. And then I'm trying to ride my bike around town, but our little town here is just, it's not super bike friendly.
Right.
Not as many people ride. Plus it's like an old style cruiser bike, you know? So I throw my backpack on with all my stuff for the day, like my laptop and whatnot. And by the time I get anywhere, even just like a mile or two away, I'm like drenched in sweat and exhausted.
Right.
I don't know. I think I just need to get a more efficient bicycle, but still, it's not a very bike friendly town. That's frustrating. So transportation is like a source of irritation now here that I'm now that I'm at home.
Yeah. What about an electric bike? You know, I mean, you can get one for about $2,000. I mean, they're not cheap, the good ones. I would like to have one. Part of me that kind of wants electric bike or the electric assist, but they're like they're $2,000 to $3,000. I don't necessarily feel. I'd rather just almost use that money towards a car for us, you know.
Right.
But I definitely see an electric bike in my future.
Yeah, I could see. Well, I've contemplated like one of those scooter things, you know, like a little moped or something that you can legally hop around the road on.
Right.
I don't know. Electric bike, there's something about it that just feels wrong. I'm still very able-bodied.
Okay,
I need the exercise very bad.
But it doesn't.
I think I just need a more efficient bike.
Okay, maybe that's what the difference is. Yeah, I mean, you need like a what you need is a mountain bike frame with some shocks, but also slick tires or like a hybrid. You need a hybrid road. Not you don't need a road bike, but you don't need a mountain bike. You need the hybrid bike.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, maybe
you'll get one for your birthday this year.
Those are my complaints for the day. Okay. But what's up with you, man?
Also hot here. Heck of a heat wave down south here and humid. And, of course, you know, when it gets this hot, like our AC downstairs stopped working again. About a week ago, it doesn't work. I think what happens is it runs so long. It runs so hard. Try to keep the house 76, 77 maybe, but 76. And, you know, and I think the coil squeeze over. But so I called our property manager guy, said, hey, we need someone to come take a look at it. It's like, okay, it was supposed to be last Friday. I canceled the appointment because I turned off the AC for like 2 or 3 hours, let it kind of rest, if you will. I've done this in the past, older places we've lived in, and it works. But now it same thing happened, and now it's just too hot. So like it's already, you know, it's early morning here. It's already inside the house, like 82 degrees downstairs. Upstairs, 75, because our upstairs AC, because we're very fortunate, we have two AC units, works fine. So I'll either be working upstairs in my bedroom today, or I will be at the library or somewhere else where it's air conditioned. Yeah.
Bummer, man.
It is. I mean, it's a first world problem. It really is. I mean, but we'll have somebody coming out today or tomorrow. I mean, and of course, when it's this hot, all the HVAC companies, I'm sure, are slammed, you know, so.
Yeah.
It just needs to be maintained. Some maintenance has to be done on the unit and, you know, et cetera, so.
Sure.
That's what's going on around here, you know.
It happens. It happens.
So,
and you've been cranking out the jams this morning. You know, we don't talk about music
right.
very much.
And I was going to ask you about that. You know, I don't listen to a ton of music. I listen to it more podcasts than music, right?
Me too. I do too.
And I'm trying to cut back on some podcasts per se. I'm not saying cut back. I'm trying to be more selective, but just use the time differently. I'm actually listening to some more audiobooks during my runs. But then the audiobooks I want to take notes from, so now I need to be more active, engaged in that. So I might listen to an audiobook with like a notebook, you know, so I can take notes. So music this morning when I came back from my workout and dropped Carson off at his run for cross country, I was just jamming to some music, whatever those on my playlist, you know, the stuff I've downloaded to my iTunes music app. And it's just a variety of stuff. It was pretty cool.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
yeah, do you like checking out new stuff, or do you kind of like you know, groove back into the stuff you are familiar with?
That's the thing. I mean, I like the stuff I'm obviously familiar with. Familiarity is one thing. I want to try new stuff. What I don't like, I'm not a big fan of what my kids listen to. Any of the mumble stuff, I can't do it. Any of the mumble rap and any of the stuff. And also, like, my daughter, they were trying to play a song yesterday through the one of our smart speakers, and they wanted me to hear the and it wasn't the song they wanted. It was another one that came up first. And I looked up the lyrics. I'm like, no, I don't need to. I mean, yes, I get the fact that they hear it. There's radio versions and non-radio versions, and they're teenagers now. But, you know, I don't need to hear all that stuff about, you know what I'm talking about, like...
No, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Well, I guess I could bleep out the next section. maybe I should do that. Should I just read off the lyrics and then bleep it all out? No. I find it just, I don't know. I can't even think of who it was. I deleted it already from my browser history.
Yeah, so no big deal.
Just a lot of cursing, a lot of referencing of women in a negative way, people, you know, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Doesn't do much for me. I don't like enjoy that. So anyway,
you don't.
So I the question is for you then, where should I go to find new music to listen to?
Oh my. Yeah.
Spotify?
Gosh.
I mean, it's hard.
You know, I have used a few different apps. Like I used Pandora for a long time. A few music apps that don't even exist anymore. I use Spotify primarily now. I like the ones that do try and suggest music or expose you to new things, and that's tough. I was also listening to something recently where people talked about how you get to a certain age and you stop getting into new stuff. I think it's around like 30, 35.
I think so.
Same with music and food. Like whatever you listened to or ate before this age is pretty much what you'll be into the rest of your life.
Now, see, food, I'll try anything at least once.
Yeah. So you're a little bit an exception to the norm in your willingness with that respect.
Yeah.
And I may be as well, but generally like you stop exploring and experimenting, or at least slow down considerably past that like 30 to 35 age range.
Yeah. Explains why I just bought a typewriter to start doing my blogging.
Yeah, exactly. You're just going backwards.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know. Like I spend probably half of the time listening to music going with familiar stuff that I love, like falling back on some phase that I went through. Either in my 20s or my teens, and then the other half listening to like Spotify's suggested playlists, like some of their new popular playlists, or some of theirs like made for you, suggested based on your listening preferences.
Do you pay for Spotify?
I do actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really handy because, well, I needed it because it won't work with the Sonos speaker unless you pay for the premium version and
gotcha
any other stuff like that.
Yeah. One of my kids pays, one doesn't. Yeah.
Listening to the new suggested things that are unfamiliar to me is kind of like, I think of it as like mining for gold, because I'll listen to a long playlist and like probably on average every 50 songs or so, I'll find something that's amazing and I can't like it enough. And I throw it on my save list and I listen to it over and over and over for months. And the rest is just like, oh, it's okay. But it's that mining process really helps me discover new things that I truly fall in love with.
Interesting.
But it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think my mindset shifted, or my choices shifted, when I felt like, okay, I don't have all the time. I have things to do. I want to be productive. It's that whole productivity thing, getting things done. So I'm like, okay, use the time most wisely. Listen to podcasts. Listen to the stuff about education, you know, and what in the space that we're in for the business. And I realize it now, the more I think about it, I realize I can't always be doing that. I have to, you know.
I know. I've like oversubscribed to podcasts at a certain point, and now I don't know what to do because I like all these shows, but it's more content than I have time to consume.
Right.
And also, now that I've oversubscribed to these podcasts, I'm not getting exposed to other ones.
Right. Absolutely.
And there's a ton of others. Right. So what do I do? Take a break from all of these and explore the rest?
I've been taking breaks. I've been removing some from the feed and I've been adding new shows and trying them out. You know, not all stick with me, you know, but yeah, and I have been making a slight and slow pivot, if you will, like moving the Titanic just a little bit at a time, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Well, that's me and music. Yeah. I want to start making some more music. So, you know, because I think, you know, I want to keep up with you. You know, I think that'd be a good segue for this little thing that you put together, huh?
Sure. Yeah, man.
I don't know what happened at the after party. I didn't go. Went to bed and I'm not sorry. Being made to feel like I've committed a heinous crime. But I need my sleep, so buddy, you can keep your crazy late night good times. I'm not antisocial, I'm just a morning kind of guy. I like to have a drink with you. We can do it before 9. I'd like to talk with you for hours over coffee or some tea. But at this stage in my life, I'm gonna call it quits early. I'll be asleep by 10:30. Skipping the after party. You can have all of my free drink tickets. I'll sleep through it all. No matter how loud it gets, it don't feel bad. I don't get down with FOMO. I won't be lonely, pal. I'm only the most boring guy you know. And I'm not antisocial, I'm just a morning kind of guy. I'd like to have a drink with you. We can do it before 9. I'd like to talk with you for hours over coffee or some tea. But at this stage in my life, I'm gonna call it quits early. I'll be asleep by 10:30. Skipping the after party.
Oh, so good. So good.
You liked that one.
I really do. I really do. Because cool. as I've gotten, I'm not 20. I'm not 25. I mean,
you didn't start going to WordCamps when you were 20.
True. But I used to go to a lot of tech conferences, and there were always after parties of some sort or get-togethers, and alcohol was there and food. And, you know, and when I was younger, you're kind of expected to go when you are representing a company or whatever it may be, kind of that whole part of it, you know, and you take advantage of it. But when you're young, you want that free food. You want those drinks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and you drink too much. The next day at the conference or at the trade show, you're like a wreck. You know, it's just I can't afford that kind of stuff. I can't do that anymore. You know, I mean, I've actually left after parties. I will tell you, or even speaker sponsored dinners. I was at a camp. I won't say which camp. Super small space, too many people, narrow, and just it got louder and louder. And who I was with, we left to go eat somewhere else. It was just too loud.
Yeah,
and it's just not comfortable. You know.
I've done a lot of that too.
Yeah, and even a speaker sponsor, you know, WordCamp US at those after parties, you know, they're big blowouts. They're just so loud sometimes. It's like it's not really. I don't want it to. I'm not looking for I'm not looking to do Zen meditation.
Yeah,
but I want to connect and talk to people. You know.
Yeah, yeah. This is just a reflection on how I'm kind of am just coming to terms with this reality. I'm a morning person.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like in the evening, well, I've done all this stuff. I stayed out late. I just don't have a great time.
Yeah.
Well, after a certain point.
Well, for me, I'm up so early anyway. So by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm just tired, you know?
Yeah.
You know, unless I take a solid good nap or something, if I take a sleep, you know, 2 to 3 or something in the afternoon, but I'm not going to take, I'll do a 20-minute power nap a lot daily, just
right.
about twice.
Right, right. I know. But I'm not going to have a good time, and you're not going to have fun with me.
Right.
Because I'm not that much fun to be
now,
around.
That later. Said, there are sometimes exceptions to the rule when you do go out, you stay longer than you think, because it is a good connection and it's not like overly loud or crowded or awkward. It just, you know, time escapes. You're like, oh my gosh, it's already 11:30 and you had a good time, but that it's, you know, it does happen, you know, so.
Sure.
So, sure. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good song. I like that song a lot. So.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. All right. Here's so then after that song, there's another, oh no, there's not. What do you got?
I just found out this morning.
Uh-huh.
Mike Hale.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah.
Has joined impress.org.
Yes. What's, you know what he's doing for them?
Project management.
Okay. That's right. I saw his tweet, I think Monday. It came out like a couple of days ago. We're recording this
and
on a Friday.
And you didn't put it in the doc?
I forgot.
Don't you know you have a show where we talk about this stuff?
My one job is to edit those things. No, I know. I forgot. I saw it. I meant to put it in there. I totally forgot.
I can't believe how you're going through life and not just thinking about the Get Options show.
Every day.
All the time. All the time.
So for those who don't know, the little trivia, we mentioned Mike Hale's name in the opening for
Unordered List.
Unordered List, right. Right. So just as a sample, we're not playing that today, but
Unordered List.
Mike Hale Inc. I don't know. There it was right there, Mike Hale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you put that one together?
Yeah. It's just like a mashup of us talking playing Unordered Lists.
Yeah, right. Like people, exactly. That's right. That's what it was. It's good. So I love that when you put that together. That's awesome. So congratulations to Mike Hale and to impress.org and to the project managers around the world.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Cool. Anyone else? Any changes? Anyone else? I don't think so.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Yeah. So actually, speaking of additional songs and music that you've done, you have one more for us today, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, listeners. I'm sorry.
Hey, stop that.
About these mergers and acquisitions, reflecting on the changes in our market's consolidation. Accidental entrepreneurs are one by one cashing out. The WordPress scene has been proven to be fruitful, there's no doubt. Some might say it's a strange time to play in this WordPress world. But I'd say if that's your take, you are not paying attention in economics class. Because none of this is new, it happens in other markets too. As an ecosystem grows, its rate of newer entrants slows. It gets hard to compete if you're not big, you're beat. We cannot innovate, but still the cycle will repeat. It might sound pessimistic, I'm just being realistic. It's inevitable in operating in a system that's capitalistic. So stop your crying, there's gonna be a lot more buying. Every single company that gets old can only ever fold or get sold. Happens the same way every time. Industries find success and climb. Some of the players get combined, and everyone else is left behind. Investors come, innovators go, leaders change, and before you know, an industry that kids created becomes corporation dominated. And just before it gets saturated, and everything cool's been created, it becomes exactly what all the founders rejected and hated.
Also great. Yeah. For the record, you had these songs done before episode 100, but because we had Joe and we had so much other stuff going on, we held them. So they're amazing. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, so this the germination for this song, did this come from the acquisition of Flywheel? Was that the idea behind it?
I would say that that's the most recent acquisition that took place before I wrote it. But it was based on some reflections I was having as I was reading a lot of the, I don't know if backlash is the right word, but just like commentary from the peanut gallery all over the internet about acquisitions like this. Everybody jumps up and says, no, I can't take that. Like, I don't like change, and I can't believe that one company would buy another. I can't deal with this. And I feel like when that's your take, you're just not really paying attention, or maybe, like I said, you didn't pay attention in economics class.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If you're watching what happens to our market as it grows and matures, consolidation and absolutely occurs. We're only in for a lot more of this.
Right.
And the song may be a little bit on the pessimistic side, which is not normally my style, but I think that this industry is on a trajectory that is not new territory. This is a repeated cycle we've seen throughout history. Our economic system is the same that it's been for a very, very long time. And we kind of know what the future has in store.
Right. I mean, it's weird that we heard of the peanut gallery. I got some comments, and this has happened before. It happens a couple times a year where then people reach out to me because of, you know, my connection to the community and to the business aspects of it. Hey, what's your take on this? And I give some feedback. I'm like, okay. I mean, I go pretty basic. Like, it happens. It happens in every industry. What's the big surprise? But then someone asks me most recently, like, hey, whatever, what I consider selling my brands. You know, I've been asked this over, it's been 5 years since Kitchen Sink's been in existence. It's been come up on 3 years for, you know, concierge. And early on, I'm like, no way. I've never, you know, now, sure. If somebody really wants to go in and make an offer for one of my brands, for me, whatever, you know, because that's what happens also. Some people buy companies, or some companies buy companies for the acquisition of the staff, of the talent in the company, not so much the technology. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the only way they can get them is they say, we buy your company, we get you for a year or two under contract kind of thing, you know. So sure, if somebody wants to pick up, you know, me in some capacity, let's talk. You know, absolutely. Okay. I'm wide open to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I'm not open to it.
No?
No.
All right. I'm like, all right.
somebody could buy this podcast that I do, I guess, if you want it.
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you I'll give you like, you know, a pound of coffee, which of course lends me to
what you're wearing, what you're drinking, what you're drinking now. What you're wearing, what you're drinking, what you're drinking now.
All right, I'm going first. I am wearing a Get Options dry fit workout shirt. And it goes back to the reason is I worked out this morning. We have no AC in the house. And I figured as the office gets warmer, might as well just keep this on and keep smelling the way I smell.
You look so good. It does. Like it's a stud.
Yeah, we need to get more of these made like, in a t-shirt format. You know, people want to buy them. Let's up a little store. Yeah. You know, anyway, I'm also drinking coffee in my San Diego State alumni mug because I'm an alumnus. And I'm reading something really, really interesting right now. It's really fascinating. It's the best thing I've read in a long time. It's actually not any of those things, people. It's health insurance documentation because for some reason, the ACA here in the U.S. Decided to not accept our submission for health insurance coverage for my kids and myself. My wife already has insurance through work, and so we got denied. I appealed it. Our appeal is now was accepted, but now under review, and now I have new paperwork to go through for the boys, but not my daughter because she's 18. It's just it's a cluster, if you will.
brother.
So it's fascinating to read this stuff. Let me tell you, that's what I'm reading right now this week because it's all due by next week. You know, so.
Wow.
Fantastic. Good times. Good
definitely
times.
Keep us posted.
Oh, yeah. This just in, health insurance docs.
Yeah, we want a full summary next week.
Okay.
Next
week. Done.
Ugh, yuck. I've got a Blog Vault t-shirt on from WordCamp Europe. It's got little Berlin landmarks on it.
It's amazing. It's a cool shirt. I mean, I really want, I wish I had one.
I like this shirt.
Maybe
they'll
send me one. Extra large, please.
Yeah, maybe they will. And I like Blog Vault.
I love Blog Vault. I really
had a great time hanging out with them. Their team was there. I got to meet Pritesh in person. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've hung out with Akshat before. Those guys are like some of the coolest people, honestly. Like,
and
they are great.
They've been a sponsor of the show in the past. They're not right now, but I use their stuff. I use Blog Vault, you know, almost daily.
Yeah.
You know, I use it across for the business, and they've made changes. They've listened to some issues that I've had hiccups. They're just amazing what they're providing. So if you're looking for a great service and a dashboard for managing multiple sites,
right,
check them out.
Right. Or just super nice people
super
to
nice
chat
people.
With
yeah.
and hang out at an event. Totally.
Yep.
Those are your guys. And I'm drinking some French press coffee that I made this morning. It's not bad. I'm not the best at making it, but I'm working on it. And I'm slowly working through Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's the last book. I'm almost there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so that's what I got.
It's the last book. You're so close. So Scott, I'm sure Scott's son is happy to hear it.
Oh, man.
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
I think it's time for me to be honest with you, dude. Oh. I think you're just way too good at podcasting, and you need to bring it down to my level for the sake of the show and my ego.
Well, you're right. That is what time it is. Let's talk. No, actually... It's there it is. Oh, no, it's not. It's really you jinxed me.
There you go. That's more like it.
There
Bring
we
it down
go.
To my level.
That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. That's right, Kyle. It's 4 seconds away from questions time. 3, 2, and 1. First question sent in by. Is this one? Courtney
Robertson.
I know Courtney. Do you know Courtney?
Courtney Robertson.
I do know Courtney. So here's the question: what do we do when a premium theme or plugin shop keeps selling their wares but has checked out? How do you tell clients that things like likely will start breaking and get out of this dumpster fire ASAP?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. So.
Poor Courtney.
Yeah. So
we understand the problem, right? You can kind of. Understand it and relate in some way.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
yeah. What do you think?
I need to stand up for this answer.
Oh,
at my standing desk. I'm gonna press the button here. Hope we don't hear the motor going because I should have prepped this earlier. But yeah. Okay. So
standing up.
I'm standing up for this because I'll tell you why.
Adam rises.
I think this is an opening for a vague rant. I mean, I'm 99.99999% sure I know exactly what Courtney is referring to here. And this issue, the culprit is a total cluster. Wait. Okay, let me calm down.
Oh, settle down, man. Take a breath.
Okay, I'll sit back down. Should I sit back down or should I stay standing?
I don't know, man. Like, you look a little worked up.
Here. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, option one from me, Courtney, don't say anything ever and then apply for a new job.
Okay. Smart. Okay. I'm with you. That's option one.
I have a second option as well.
Yeah. And what is it?
Do the right thing. Let them, the client, know that shift happens. Yes, it's shift. Because it is a shift. That the company behind the product really isn't there anymore. There are other options moving forward. There's Band-Aids. There's a redesign. There's the same design. But realize this could happen again. It doesn't matter what you move to in our industry, in our space. Change is the only constant.
Cool.
That's what I got. Those are my two options for you.
All right. That's probably enough.
I'm going to sit back down now.
It's time to report these sellers to the Bureau of Unethical Makers of Software. You know, if you ever encounter business owners behaving in a manner which is unethical, simply contact BUMS and report them. They'll make sure that those shady characters get shut down. That's the advice I have.
There's got to be an acronym in there somewhere, like, you know, Bureau of Unethical something, you know, like where it's like butts or buttheads.
So. Well, I just made that one up, and it's BUMS.
But BUMS. Oh, there it is. Okay.
It's kind of stupid. It doesn't exist. Unfortunately, this is how our economic system works. A business can make all kinds of promises, mm-hmm. but it doesn't actually have to fulfill those promises. There's no business police making sure we all do what we say we're going to do. And that's especially true in a market like ours, which is big but not huge. It's young and not even close to regulated. Industries generally need to be pretty huge and pretty old before any rules get made. And so for now, we're still in the Wild West, where the only justice is highly visible bad PR. Now, to advice for Courtney, I would be very careful here. This is somewhat of a side note to the question. What you want to avoid, Courtney, is unintentionally eroding your client's trust in all comparable providers.
Okay.
Like, they are not immersed in the ecosystem like you are. You have so much more information than they do. They're looking at this vendor you are alluding to in the same way that they are looking at all your favorite vendors. Mm-hmm. They don't know the difference. It's just so to them, a website with a logo and some promises made on it, they're all the same. They don't even understand what they do. If you start emphasizing stories about some of these vendors failing to make good on their promises and being like these small shops or individuals, like if you start emphasizing those stories, you'll have your clients start asking questions about everyone and also expecting you to know the inside scoop, which you won't always. And for these reasons, I think it's something for you to be careful about. I wouldn't spend too much time telling clients about your inside scoop knowledge of all these vendors. Also, this is another personal thing. Be careful about making judgments about other businesses from an outside perspective. Like, if you, it's one thing. If you know for a fact that someone selling products has no intention of providing the service their site promises, which is hard to do unless you like personally know the people behind the business and you have spoken to them and it has been made clear that their intentions are to totally take advantage of their customers and fulfill no promises. If you know this for a fact, then by all means, steer your clients clear. But if you've just had maybe some support tickets go unanswered or something, like, that is not enough to condemn the seller. We have had, like, even in our business, we've had periods of time where technical issues prevented us from receiving tickets or providing responses for a long time. We've had customers mistakenly get an impression that we're abandoning a product or neglecting our users for some reason. These were due to reasons maybe beyond our control or just mistakes that were made. So we have hands-on experience with customers thinking the wrong thing due to just some anecdotal instances. And I've also known some people who had life changes, which only temporarily made them put their business on the back burner. And just because temporarily things aren't being responded to or acknowledged in the way that you would expect doesn't mean there isn't someone behind the business doing everything they can to get it back together. So be careful about the judgments you make of these businesses. And lastly, if you do need to have this conversation with your clients, I much prefer the positive deflection approach.
Okay.
So instead of saying, they're no good, stay away, which is a negative and not actually that constructive, say, I've had very good experiences with this alternative and I recommend it instead, which is a positive. You're actually making a recommendation. Like, so no, instead of this, whatever, this forms plugin for WordPress, which you suggested, you know what? I've had a really great experience with this other one and I think it's a great fit for you. I recommend using that. So we're not even bothering to have this negative conversation.
But how do you, what would be the impetus to bring that up? Obviously, there's got to be a reason. Say, hey, you're not going to say, hey, Kyle, client Kyle, I want to pitch you something that's going to cost you more money. For what purpose? I mean, it has to be like, hey, you know, you have to say something that service A or theme A or plugin A, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, is no longer, has shut down. You can leave it clean. You don't have to say anything bad about the company, even if you know or not know, but is no longer going to be supported and things might are going to start down the line and stop working as expected your site is now. So how do you cross that? How do you bring that up in a professional yet same thing? You know, here's a new alternative without just, you know, you never want to discuss, for example, like they always say, never talk badly about a previous employer while you're looking for a new, at a job interview. Right?
Yeah. I think how I prefer to handle that is to not unless the client pushes it. So if the client says, like, I want to use this, I want to use this plugin A, I want to use Adam's e-commerce. And I know that, like, well, I don't want to use Adam's e-commerce because,
sad,
you know, because whatever. I think that guy spends too much of his time making great podcasts.
Nice.
And so I know the inside scoop. So I'm not going to come in and bash Adam's e-commerce. I'm going to come in and say, you know what? I understand your needs. I know what you're trying to accomplish with your e-commerce site. I actually think that Kyle's e-commerce is the best solution for you. And maybe even here are some reasons. I think you should use this. And a lot of clients will just say, oh, okay, well, that sounds good. I'll trust your judgment. I'll go with your recommendation. Some clients will push back and say, but it sounds like Adam's e-commerce promises those same things. I think I really want to use it.
Okay.
Then I can start to say, you know what? There are other things that I know that in this particular case, or maybe experiences that I've had, or something that I think it's a better, you know, this other one is better for you in the long run. And so I think it's smarter and more professional to focus on the positive and the recommendation.
But you're taking the angle of potentially a new functionality to be implemented versus my thing is here is something that's already in place, but is going to stop working and start breaking because it's not getting maintained. No more maintenance, no more updates, no more changes, no more support. So that's the difference is, I think sometimes you have to take the approach of, okay, hey, clients, you know, FYI, this is no longer going to be supported. It still works for now, but just keep this in mind that in 3, 6, 9, 12 months, you're going to have to make a change.
Right.
That's the difference. So you're going from something new to be implemented versus something that already exists that will stop working.
Right. There are a couple of things that I am concerned about there. Like, one, I think we should be good already at convincing our clients that they need this kind of maintenance plan. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you chose the best vendors or if they are equipped with all of your favorite plugins right now, the same reality exists that there's potential for some of these products to no longer be a fit in the future.
Right.
You could have your favorite plugins running this site that are well supported by your favorite people that you love. But a year or two or five from now, that stuff could still change. So it doesn't matter whether the site is powered by something you think is great or something that you think is junk or poorly supported. It doesn't matter. The same truth exists, and you should still be educating your clients about the need for a future plan.
Okay.
Like redevelopment and maintenance. These are realities. It doesn't only apply if you assess the situation and say something is wrong here. So you should be able to sell a plan already, even when the situation is good. And then if they're, I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. I know what you mean though. Yeah. And we can dissect this because in this case, I know the situation and, you know, but I don't want to call anybody out, and I don't want to, there's no reason to deep dive into this per se, but I know what you mean. It's a conversation that has to happen, but you're right. You should not go into it negatively. You should go in with a client in a positive manner to provide a new solution without technically or potentially jeopardizing the trust that they have in you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't like the idea of having to lean on these in order to sell maintenance and redevelopment in the future. You should be already able to persuade clients of that need. So if the only reason that you're able to convince them is like you say, well, there's something in your stack which is poorly supported, and so it's inevitable. Well, it's already inevitable, even if everything in their stack is great today.
Right.
So if that's your strategy or your impetus for selling a maintenance plan or selling redevelopment in the future, I don't know.
I know.
We can do better.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we answered it. You want to ask the second question?
Michelle Ames asks us, mm-hmm. How do I outsource?
Oh.
Of course. I don't know, Michelle. How do you outsource?
Is this like a knock-knock question?
Yeah. That's how it sounds to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, let me just set the preface here, I think, or ground rules. I think you really want to know what your need is to outsource. What do you want taken off your plate to help you achieve your goal or goals? And then from there, I have two options. Again, I'm a two-option kind of guy today.
Uno, dos.
Okay, so number one, I think you should not outsource. I think you should insource. Reverse the issue. Double down on yourself.
Mm. Oh, what?
Take
insource?
Insource. Take on all the things. Keep all the money. Add all the life stresses that may incur.
Wow. What would that even look like if you...
Look in a mirror, man. Look in a mirror. Wait, no. It's what I see when I look in a mirror.
Oh,
dang. No, wait, that's not right.
I run the most inefficient business of all time.
Well, my old negative, my old joke, which I try not to say anymore because I don't like negative talk, self-talk, as you know, I would always say, people say, what do? I go, I run a non-profitable. It's not a non-profit. It's different. Thank you. I need a touch sound effect there.
You should.
Option number two. Can I just throw my second option out there?
I will allow it.
Because I believe I may add something to you, one of your options. The way to outsource, how do you outsource? Hire family, because you can't go wrong there.
Not while I'm drinking, man.
Sorry. Wait, that was perfect timing. Just pick a family member, whether they're qualified or not, and hire them.
Please don't do that.
What do you got? What do you think? What, you think you got anything better? Come on, Maurer.
No, I don't.
I'm getting actually. Loose. Come on, I'm getting loose.
I know. You got me. Michelle, you're the best. You're awesome, Michelle. Thanks for the great question. And if you really think about the definition, broadly speaking, like we all outsource all the time. That's so much. I've started outsourcing my oil changes,
just recently.
Yeah. At Sandhills, we outsource a variety of things, like some graphic design and accounting and more. You outsource a variety of professional services for your business. And if we want to get even more technical, we are all outsourcing server management. Mm-hmm. When we pay for web hosting, you know, essentially we are paying someone a service.
Actually, for, I'm
to,
saying,
to provide a service.
I'm bringing mine in-house. I'm going to run mine off my Synology.
Yeah. I mean, you could bring servers into your house and manage them yourself and not pay someone the service of managing those. Like when we buy that, we always feel like that's a product, but it really is a service and that we outsource. Mm-hmm. We choose to not manage our own servers. That would be silly. That would be grossly inefficient for all of our small businesses. And thus, it makes a ton of sense to outsource. When you are outsourcing, the tax rules and implications are important to understand for us small businesses. I was running a small business for a long time, and it's really important that I understood it. And of course, I didn't really, because it's stupidly complicated. But 1099s for all subcontractors that get paid more than $600 is one of those rules. Those have to get ordered from the IRS. You can't just print them off online.
Really?
Although this is not applicable to vendors who are filing as a C-Corp or an S-Corp. Apparently it's not applicable for vendors that you pay via a credit card or PayPal. I guess. Like, I don't know. This stuff is confusing as heck. Also, like, the understanding what constitutes a subcontractor is important as well. I've had weird experiences in the past where there are a lot of businesses who bend these rules a little bit or decide to interpret them in their own way. And I've even had, quote, employers before who treated their subcontractors like employees, which is illegal. They are different. If you have someone working for you who is a subcontractor, you cannot tell them where they need to be and when they need to be there. That is the realm of employees, who are very different. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Understanding all of that stuff is important before you start seriously subcontracting work. And if you're looking for providers, there are some pretty good websites where you can find freelancers to subcontract work to, like, if you really don't have the personal network to just contact so-and-so that you already know, you can go to sites like Upwork and Guru and Codable and Fiverr, and there are a lot of professionals providing services through these platforms. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You stole my thunder. I was going to say Fiverr. It was my third option.
I've gotten great stuff on Fiverr.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed. Fiverr's changed a lot from when it started, you know. So it's not just $5. You know, people have multiple jobs, and there's different levels now. And yeah, you can find decent people. I've had some good luck with some stuff way back in the day, and I've had some bad luck with some stuff back in the day, you know. So your mileage may vary, right?
I would suspect the same is true for you, but most of our experience in subcontracting came about through personal networking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we go to business networking groups in the local area. We go to the Chamber this and B2B that and BNI and WordCamps. So we build a network of acquaintances who provide the services that we don't for referrals or for subcontracting. Or we talk to other business owners or people that we know and say, do you know a good tax accountant? Do you know a good graphic designer?
Right. Heck, I there's actually a service that I have that I set up to help connect those dots, because I had that Rolodex and people kept asking me for referrals. I'm like, here, go this pay. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. And if you want to mention it on the show, you can sponsor the show.
Oh, that's good to know. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And technically, from the perspective of every single client of yours, you are always a subcontractor. They are subcontracting to you, right?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I mean,
they're outsourcing
their web development and maintenance. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Right. Right. If no one outsourced web development, I mean, you'd have no customers.
Right. No. Exactly. So, All right. I think we answered that pretty well. Anything else you want to add?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
you've lost a little energy here this morning. Come on, bring it back. Bring it back. Okay. It's time for our segment. This week's segment is.
It's time for the personal question.
Oh, yeah. The personal question.
Dun, 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 dun.
Personal question. It's time for it. Okay. We haven't done this segment in a little while.
We haven't. And I'm a little, I mean, mine's my question that I have for you is, well, it's timely, I think, based on my life. So you'll see. You want to go first? Ask me, or you want me to ask you first?
You ask me first.
Okay. So, yeah. So you and I had a conversation about a week or so ago. And I then came back around. I think I said something to you. You were kind of surprised at my reaction. And I think it was definitely a moment there, like, what? Really? And this how I was feeling. So, and it, I don't want to get too far into
like a dozen conversations.
Right, of course. But it'll make more sense to you in a second. So, my question for you is, the personal question is, you say all the time, we joke about you saying this all the time, and you kind of scoff at it, this and that, but that you are anti-client, that clients are bad, that you were burnt out of when you had the agency. Yeah, you were fortunate that you were talked off the ledge a few times because you had a business partner.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's so you've been out of the agency for, what, 2 years now? Three?
Uh-huh. 2 years? Two and a half.
Okay. So are you still really, really anti-client, or are you just being more playful because you've been there, done that? Because from my chair, from my point of view, and other people who are running small agencies, if you will, and people who hear our show, and you know, it almost, if you are truly anti-client, it can feel pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not trying to, what's the right word? I mean, it can diminish what agencies are trying to do as a profession.
Oh, I get you. I feel
you. See, so are you really anti-client, or are you just being more playful because at this point you say it just because you almost, you know, but where are you on that? And you know, and okay. you don't have clients at Sandhills, you have customers. So there's a definition difference there, but in 6 words or less, I'm kidding, you know. I think you got to the point where you hated clients maybe, or you hated that aspect, but.
Yeah. I'm grateful to have this question because I like an opportunity to talk about this and set the record straight. I think kind of where you're steering me is correct in that I recognize my experience was not great. I didn't like it. I didn't. It was not good.
The whole time?
It was fun for the first couple of years when I was really young and it was exciting and it seemed like the world was full of opportunities and I was going to be wildly successful and I was making things that I was really proud of. First couple of years, it was really cool.
Okay.
My business partner and I hacking away in his basement, coming up with new things every day. It was just exciting. And every closed deal was just a breakthrough and the step to a bigger future.
Okay.
After a few years, it became more of a grind, this sickening roller coaster of like highs and lows, unpredictable revenue, a lot of stress, clients asking more and more for like the same thing, but never the same. And it was not a lot of fun for me. And meanwhile, I was getting involved in other things in our ecosystem and starting to realize like, this just isn't me. Okay. I'm not cut out for this. I have some things that I don't know, talents, I guess, skills, that are not being used. And I want to use them. And I need to work in a different setting. Okay. And I was talking. I had like some bad client experiences, like some really traumatic ones, where like we worked with one client that was like maybe one of the biggest companies that we ever worked with, and it was a great huge project, and everything was going pretty well, and we were really optimistic. And I was making some cool stuff. I was doing the coding at the time. I built out this great theme with a lot of exciting functionality. And like, it all just fell apart. Like one thing after another. I built this great stuff. And then we were sabotaged from inside the company. Accused of stealing things from the company and like holding domains hostage and stuff, which was totally false, a complete misunderstanding. We were kind of like without notice, replaced, sort of like mid-project, like another vendor was brought in to sort of do things we were supposed to do that we weren't even told about. We built this amazing functionality for a new service the company was going to provide. And then it was debuted to the operations team who said, we can't do this. No, why'd you guys build this? We're not going to add this.
This actually story sounds familiar. I remember you told me about this. Yeah.
Our company can't provide this service. And like all of that work was for nothing. And we were dropped and couldn't even get paid. And like, and that's just one mm-hmm. of many stories where I was like, this sucks. This and sucks
do,
so
do,
much.
Do you think... Is that was the frustration that were you I mean you scaled a little bit you had what I know you had at least one or two, you had two developers besides you know and you and your partner plus two developers maybe a third I think there was a third in there at one point
sure
would, yeah. would have been easier had you scaled bigger and you did focus on a specific thing
I don't know maybe yes
okay
Ugh, it's so yeah. complicated yeah. to dissect that would take hours
okay which we don't have. We don't have that.
Like the relationship with my business partner and our employees and the clients and all that stuff. Anyway, the short story is like it didn't work out for me. Okay. For Kyle personally, my experience was not good. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. I had traumatic client encounters, and I fell in love with products. Mm-hmm. I just became enamored with that process of going like really deep and far with like a specific product. And I moved to a product company and have been so happy. Like it's so different and better suited for me. Now, where we are today is you're absolutely right. I am playfully joking a lot about how, I don't know, like the client game, mm-hmm. it sucks. It's a grind. And I shouldn't as much. I should be
supportive.
I should be more supportive.
I'm just saying. And like,
yes, it is all based on the fact that like I had these personal experiences mm-hmm. that are not everyone else's experiences.
Right.
And I hated it, and I don't miss it at all.
Right. In full disclosure,
not a day goes by.
I'm guarantee you that everyone who runs small agencies or any agencies of any scale have all had the same experiences, but keep going forward for whatever reasons and whatever choices they've made, you know. I mean, so
yeah,
I mean,
You're totally right.
I don't love every day of my what I'm doing, but overall, I like. There's a chunk of what I do, what I'm doing. I do really like stuff I don't, and of course, some clients get it, some don't. You know, the ones who get it are great. The ones who don't, it's a much smaller percentage, and I am doing a much better job myself at qualifying clients better and managing the expectations better. It's to protect my psyche better. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just it's like all this stuff. Like if you and I lived in the same place and then you moved to another place and I complain about some things in the place that I stayed, you would say like, well, just move, right. You know, or like that's because that place sucks or something. You might joke around with me. Or if you like had a bad experience with a Chevy and you went and bought a Ford and I'm still driving a Chevy okay. and you might make jokes like, well, you know, it's all because you're driving a Chevy.
Right.
All those kinds of silly things. Like it's all kind of in good fun. And I know that it's all just based on my own experiences. Like the client game, it doesn't always suck. It just sucked for me.
Right. But it didn't always suck for you either.
It
was over time and it started sucking more because you changed. You personally changed and you wanted something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Good. I'm glad you've given me an opportunity to kind of set the record straight on this. And when I tease about client related issues, it's like I have baggage and this is a personal thing for me. Like I have a personal background in this stuff and that wasn't good. And it's not because I'm thinking that everyone else should follow my path mm-hmm. and pursue products or just do what I did. No, you guys are all different than me. I'm just projecting and okay. making jokes that, I don't know, are probably often in poor taste.
Not poor taste, but just sometimes, you know, it can, after a while, it's like, you know, it can be defeatist sounding.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, okay. I think it's insensitive.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Right. I'll work on that, and I thank you for bringing that up. That's an opportunity for me to improve.
Okay. All right. All right, that's the time. I'm kidding. What do you got for me? I'm afraid now. We're running a little okay. long here. We're okay. We got another minute or so.
Your question was good.
Thanks.
I don't know. I don't mind this. But we talked a little bit about your business and your plans for the future recently. We talked also about your family and you know, how things have developed over time and your vision for the future. And I want you to just talk a little bit about what would you like your legacy to be?
Wow.
Both personally and professionally.
Since we're running so long, that'll be next episode. we're gonna bump this for Matt Damon. No. professionally, legacy. So my legacy, personal and professional. So personal legacy, I would like to confidently know that I've raised three children, or co-raised three children, who are good people, period, you know, who don't, you know, do bad things, you know, to the world at large, you know, or to mankind or womankind or personkind, peoplekind. That'd be one. I would, on a professional level, it's ironic, you know, based on what your comments were on the agency and where I'm at with my agency and stuff and where I'm going as I get a little older. I do like what I'm doing. I also have been fortunate that I've seen shifts ahead of time for myself, like in different industries. You know, I came into WordPress as a photographer. Before photography, I was doing more video. Before video, I was doing some marketing and training for Apple. So I've seen shifts a little bit ahead of time. So I've been able to make adjustments that worked out well for me. Mm-hmm. You know, as the song you had earlier about the consolidation of things, I see a shift also coming in the WordPress space. And I see a shift in my own life based on my age and based on my own pursuits, not music, but, you know, based on what I have done in my past.
Really, it should be music.
It really should be, not music. Yeah. So I think my personal legacy, I would like to be remembered as, you know, inspirational, motivate people for, I don't know, I mean, I hate to say, I don't know, I mean, I don't hate to say it, but I mean, it's just weird to say it out loud, I suppose. This is a really tough one, Kyle. I hate this. I talk about yourself, I'm not comfortable sometimes doing that.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
I get it. I so get it. You're so right. Yeah.
So I'll answer with my humor, if you will. People say, what do you want God to say, you know, when you get to the pearly gates? I want to get up there, hopefully, and have him say, huh, yeah, you were funny. Or I'm a fan. That's what I want my legacy to be. I'm a fan. So,
yeah. You know, God's fan.
Yeah.
God's fan.
There's a song right there. There's a song in that.
Yeah.
So that's what I got. That's what I'm going to wrap up with. I don't know.
I'll give you an easier one next time, I promise.
Thank you. Okay.
But our listeners, I want you to take the opposite advice. I want you to give us real stumpers, real head scratchers, the kind of questions that just make your brain hurt. Try and deliver some questions like that that are so challenging and like brain melting that you think they're unanswerable. You think no one can tackle this question. Well, you know what? Give Adam and I a chance. Let's see what we can do. Send those questions over to us. Anything, no matter how difficult, to questions@getoptionspodcast.com. That's our email address to which you can deliver electronic mail. You can go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com, and there's stuff there. You know, follow the links and the clicky-loos and the buttons and all that, and type words into the fields on the forms and hit the submit buttons, and we will get questions from you, and we will read them, and in all likelihood, we will respond to them in a sarcastic manner on a future episode of this show.
Possibly. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Sober. We're on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.